Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're with Dr. Harris and our Madam President, Eileen Reed.
Hey, everybody.
We have a hot show tonight. Everything is politics. What in the world does that mean? Everything is politics. I'll hand it over to her.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Reverend Harris, for that intro. Well, everything is politics. People will tell you, oh, you know, you don't want to talk about politics or religion. But the fact of the matter is every single thing in our life is about politics, how much taxes we pay, where our kids go to school, you know, what the kids can wear to school. Everything is politics. And so tonight we're going to be covering a few things. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening with Fresno Unified School District Trustee Terry Sladek. We're going to talk a little bit about the Voters' Choice Act and the new voting system and voting machines that they're bringing in. And then finally, we're going to talk about the Progressive Black Summit that's happening this coming October in Golden West Side, starting off on the Golden West Side of Fresno. But to start off, I just want to say welcome. Welcome, welcome to listeners to the West Fresno Democratic Club show. I want to thank Reverend Floyd D. Harris, Jr. for the controls and, you know, being our co-host tonight. He does an excellent job. And I want to get right to it. So those of you who have been following what's been happening in Fresno, with Fresno Unified, I believe it's Area 2, Bullard Area, Trustee Terry Sladek, for those of you who haven't been around and listening to the hubbub about this, there was a JV cheerleader who used blackface that went viral on social media, and she also used the N-word. Now, I must say, from what I've seen, it seemed as though she did this in a playful manner. I don't know if she did or did not know the history behind what blackface is, so on and so forth. Okay, so this, she sent this to a black cheerleader on the team. It went viral. People are up in arms, but the reason people are up in arms is that Terry Sladek took it upon himself to attend a meeting of these cheerleaders and forbade them to talk about this incident and threatened them with not being able to attend cheer camp, and then all heck broke loose. There was a Fresno Unified special meeting last week, which I understand was filled to capacity, and several black parents who were not even aware of what was going on had a chance to speak, and I understand that there were two local black parents, male parents, Tate Hill and Terrence Frazier, who had a chance to speak. There were other people at the mic who had a chance to speak, men and women who were concerned about the safety of their children. So I'm looking now at all the coverage that this story has gotten locally, statewide, and national, and it appears that the entire world is now looking at Fresno, California, trying to figure out how it is that something like this is happening in 2019. Oh, but it gets better, y'all. It gets better. Now, with further investigation, it has come out that Terry Sladek, earlier this year, had had an incident with a black Army recruiter on campus at Bullard, where he was talking in a very demeaning, condescending manner to this man and was very disrespectful. That's in addition to him physically assaulting a special needs student on campus. The student apparently had words with Sledek, and, you know, he tried to grab the boy and grabbed his backpack and all these things. So now it comes out today, I'm seeing on social media, that he threatened an assistant coach at Bullard and was saying to him, well, you know, you better understand that if your application comes across my desk, you know, blah, 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 I'm going to be, I mean, okay. So now we have it established, a pattern, that this man is a bully. And there is no way, no way that he should be engaging with students and staff. Now, I don't know a lot about the way a trustee's job is supposed to work, but it was my understanding that they are supposed to deal with policy and the implementation of said policy once it's decided on, and not in the day-to-day running of school sites and interaction with staff and students. So I would love to hear what some of y'all have to hear say about Sledek and what should be done. Now, I understand that Fresno Unified School Board did censor him, and I do, and I appreciate the fact that that's happening. And I understand also that they are running an independent investigation in Sledek's past behavior. So, you know, I'd like to hear from folks who are veterans, like Sledek claims to be, that he is a former Marine. And, you know, from the vets that I have talked to about this, this is not behavior becoming someone in the military. You know, I mean, they're supposed to serve and protect, not go around bullying. So I'd love to hear what y'all have to say about this. And the call-in number, I do believe, is 1-563-999-3490. So once again, that call-in number is 1-563-999-3490. Now, you know, whether we have children or not in Fresno Unified, many of us who are homeowners pay taxes and understand that your taxes are what support local schools. And so you have a vested interest, whether or not you have children or grandchildren attending Fresno Unified. Now, we need to understand, and a very, very active community member brought, you know, made this comment to me earlier today, and I agree with her. Sister Maria Ells, who works with young people, said it should not matter what part of Fresno you live in, if you're a black parent, if you're a black child. When something like this happens, everybody needs to answer the call to unify and come together. And you best believe that there are activists in the city who are ready to move if justice is not achieved in this manner. And understand me, folks, I'm not saying this as a threat. You know, if I could say one thing about black or brown people, especially black folks, is we love justice, we love equality, and we love being treated fairly. And we expect the same from other folks. So if Terry Sledek is not dealt with going through the processes that have, you know, the wheels are in motion and all of that, the people of Fresno, of all stripes, need to stand up and say no. We're not going to go for this. And so I don't want to preach at y'all, but I do want to hear what you all have to say about this. So if you want to call in, talk about Terry Sledek at 563-999-3490. I want you to do that. And I have to say that I have got great nieces and nephews who attend Fresno Unified Schools in different parts of this city. And they're all the way from high school all the way to elementary school, my great nieces and nephews. And I am extremely worried that these type of micro and macro aggressions against our children are taking place. You know, first of all, I want to find out, why did this little girl on the JV cheerleading squad think it was okay to do this? Where does she get the impression that that kind of behavior is okay? And I do understand that her parents have since apologized for her behavior. I also understand that she has suffered no consequences for said behavior. So I'm trying to figure out, how is she supposed to learn? I mean, sensitivity training, well, that needs to happen throughout Fresno County schools and Fresno Unified Schools. Because you best believe this is not the only type of racism and hate that our children experience on a daily basis, especially if they're going to a school in a predominantly white area of town. And I have said many, many, many times, if people cannot live in a diverse setting like Fresno, we're not going to be able to get along anywhere. So I would love to hear your opinion about Terry Slattic. You might have been oversaturated with this, but I think it's important that we understand that this is political. Okay. And from the research that I've done, I understand that Terry Slattic won that Fresno Unified trustee seat with only 36% of the vote. 36% of the people in the Bullard area wanted him as a trustee. That's not very much. That's not even half. So I don't know if it's the fact that people stayed home, people didn't vote. But I think it's also important to understand that Bullard is one area of Fresno that wanted to break away. I know Reverend Harris had this on his show. I made this comment earlier this week. They wanted to break away and form their own school district. And so that leads me to believe that Bullard believes that they're in another world, you know. That they are living in a way that it sort of reminds me of things that were happening in Clovis like 25, 30 years ago, that Clovis wanted to differentiate itself. Clovis Unified wanted to differentiate itself from Fresno Unified for sure, that they, you know, had better standards. They had better teachers. They were doing things differently than Fresno Unified, and that is why their test scores were so much better. Nobody wanted to talk about the fact that they were drilling their students to do well on these tests, but that's a whole different story for another day. So I'm not going to get in that. But I do want to hear what you have to say about Mr. Slattic, and if you do want to call in and talk about him, we're going to move on to something else right now. But if you do want to call in about anything that's on your mind that has to do with politics and Southwest Fresno or Fresno in general, please call in at 563-999-3490. Okay.
I'd like to jump in real quick if I can.
Yeah.
I think it's important to understand the environment of Fresno. Fresno Unified is the third largest school district in the state of California. And it has over, I believe, 80% of low-income lunches throughout the whole district, which says that there's a lot of poverty that's in the district. The problem is you have a school board for the and superintendents for the past 20 years, I would say, that don't believe that it's important to have any black principals. When I say principals, I'm talking about male principals.
Black male principals.
Mm-hmm. And Fresno.
Wow.
So what is that saying? The last time we had black principals or administrators was when we had Dolphus Trotter.
John Sharpshire.
John Sharpshire. That was the late 70s. Well, something happened in Fresno. Something happened during that age period when those elders have died off or retired or what have you.
Yeah.
And what we have right now is we have a white ideology, white supremacy, white image, white decision making. A school district that's 80% low income. So the question becomes, why this school district? Why the board members? Why the superintendents? Even when Kyle Johnson was on the board.
Was on the board.
He was a black man that looked on the outside. Nice brother. But he didn't feel it was important to hire or advocate for black principals.
Come on now. Tell the truth.
I don't understand the reasoning for a black principal. Because if our black children do not see any black success, and all they see in the hood is gang-banging, drug dealers, pimps, players, then that's what they're going to want an image behind. So the power structure, the white power structure, because that's what's driving it, right?
Yes.
Is not concerned about a black image. Now, what they are concerned about, because now it's profitable to have our young men standing on the corner, selling drugs, shooting at one another. So that's job security.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes.
But when we start talking about an institution that's supposed to represent, see, the board is supposed to represent the community, right? But yet, you don't. That's why I call Fresno Mississippi Fresno, okay?
Right.
Because
that's
there's
accurate.
A lot of unjust stuff going on here, right? Now, look at Mills. She's a board member. She's been on there at least almost 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
The other lady from Sunnyside, I forget her name. She's been on
there. Isla.
So you got a mindset of people who is from the ancient age of thinking, right? So the question becomes, why Fresno do not have one black male principal throughout the whole district? See, that's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
Wait a minute. We got black women as principals. That's great. I mean, I love that. But where's the black man? See, if the black man is not present, then our young black boys have nothing to measure by, right? To want to say or want to be like a successful administrator. You see,
we know the reason why, Rev. Yes, explain to them, to the listening audience why it's okay to have a female black principal and not a male black principal.
Well, you know, our women are lovely. I mean, they're the best. Our black women are the best. I put them up against anybody. But we have to understand that the U.S. government, and I got to talk history now. When the U.S. government made welfare, it made welfare to eliminate the black man out the home and make the woman feel that the welfare was the man and she didn't need the man. So my point is, it's the same way in the educational system that they'll say, oh, well, we got women principals. Well, that's great. But a male image is different from a woman's image.
I was just going to interject. I'm agreeing with your point, and I think, too, that the power structure thinks that black women are less threatening. by their standards than black men, that they think they're easier to control if they have to, which obviously they don't know a lot of our women, but anyway, that in their mind, they think that they will give, you know, that position to a black woman because they think she's, quote unquote, easier to deal with.
See, the black man has always been a danger to species to this country since day one. Since we were brought over on that first boat call, the black man has always been the one that the system wants to take out first, right? Because the man is supposed to be the protector of what? The family.
Wow, right?
So when you take the man out of the equation, that just leaves a woman and children. Now, the woman can defend herself. But it's better if the man is there to be the protector. So it's done by design here in Fresno.
Absolutely.
Not to have black male principal. Listen, Mr. Miller, and I got to get this sheet. I done asked him 3 or 4 times for it. I got to get it from him. He has a paper that showed all of the principals that Fresno and administrators. I'm telling you, it was like almost 20 people.
Wow.
We don't have one. And that was in the early 80s. We're talking almost, what, 20, 30 years from now.
My God.
You see my
point? See, this is a, yes, I do. Yes, I do, Rev. So this is what's happening. This is just a microcosm of what's going on throughout Fresno County and other things that are happening, whether it's city council, which we have no black people on city council right now, whether it's on board of supervisor. We had 2 black people run for board of supervisors. I believe they were both Republican. Neither one of them won. So this Please continue.
Sister Eileen, this is why your vision of the summit is so important. Okay? It couldn't come at a better time, okay? Because the black summit that you're putting on is going to talk about black issues and black accountability. So I haven't discussed it yet.
Yeah. Now we're
I'm going to bring
to
you.
That's a good segue. Oh, bless your heart.
The politicians that we have now, which is only 3, we need to have them on a panel, and we need to question them and tell them what we want. See, politics has gotten to be reversed.
And this is why we need it.
No, we tell you what we want. And if you can't carry the mail in the water as we want, then hell, we get you out of there.
You're absolutely positively correct. And go for it, because you're breaking it down better than I could. You're breaking it down better than I could.
Yeah.
This Progressive Black Summit, in order for us to have a voice, we need to sit down and have a conversation with each other. And we are one of the reasons why this progressive Black Summit is being held is so black people in the Central Valley, even though people throughout California are going to be invited, is that we can sit down and talk.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I think we got some gremlins who don't want this information to get out to the black masses, but. Reverend Harris was talking about the reason that we need the Progressive Black Summit. So I'm gonna jump a little bit from the Voters Choice Act, and I'll come back to that. But this Progressive Black Summit has been we've been building up to this for about a year, actually more than that. That we want to have a discussion with black elected officials and black progressives in the Central Valley and figure out why it is. And how can we solve the problems, the political problems that we have as black people in the Central Valley? Now, I have tried to reach out to Brother Michael Tubbs and Stockton and different elected officials in this valley, and I'm going to keep reaching out to them until I get a response. Apparently, Brother Tubbs has been inundated with a lot of requests for his time, but I think that Fresno is just as important as anybody else. And we need to have a conversation. It's going to happen on October 26th, which is a Saturday, and 27th. We're going to have two panel discussions on the first day, and we're going to have two panel discussions on the second day. So we're going to have a keynote speaker who is an expert in juvenile justice. His name is James Bell. He is the executive director of the Hayward Burns Institute in Oakland, California, and this brother is sharp. This event, so that's Saturday. That's going to be at New Light for New Life Church at 1106 West Woodward on Saturday, and that's going to be from about 10 to 1. Then on Sunday, we're going to pick it up in the afternoon, and we're going to be at Bitwise Enterprises at 700 Van Ness in downtown Fresno. We're going to be using their auditorium, and there will be two panels there. But one of the first panels that I'm really excited about, Reverend Harris, is disrupting the school-to-prison pipeline. And James is going to do a 30-minute keynote speech, and then he's going to sit on the first panel with our other educators. So this is going to be an excellent time for us to talk about solutions, and we're inviting all progressive black people within the sound of my voice, a listening audience, to come. We're also inviting all of our true allies, you know, to come and meet with us. This is a free event, but we will accept love offerings to give back to the church for their time, their effort, and, you know, the electricity and all that good stuff. So, but the event itself is free on both days. But Reverend Harris, you are going to be our closing speaker, and you're going to be wrapping it up. And you're going to be sitting on one of the panels where we talk about mind, body, spirit. And I just want to say, everybody, that it is intentional that we have a black man as our keynote speaker opening this summit, and we have a black man closing this summit. Mm-hmm. Reverend Harris?
I really feel right now that we're just at a time right now where we're really trying to figure out here in Fresno what direction to go as black people. We don't even have a black agenda. We don't even have no black stores, you know. We don't have no real black economics. We don't even have a black school. We don't even have a black tire shop. We don't even, I mean, yeah, we got, you know.
Nope.
We do hair and nails. That's great. But I'm talking about real warehouse type stuff, you know. When we look at West Fresno, I'm 49 years old, and it looked like that when I was 49 years young. I mean, come on. Okay? I mean, what's we have to change things, and we have to understand that things are not going to change just because. We have
just
to be
because.
Progressive. We have to have a black agenda. Listen, when I hear a politician, especially a black politician, tell me, or I hear them say, but when you hear other ethnic talk, they say, well, we're about our community first.
Right.
First. But see, when black people say we're for our children first, then we say, oh, you're racist. You see what I'm saying? See, charity starts at home. So I'm kind of upset at a Latina for caring about their community first. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. But black people in Fresno have been so brainwashed, right, to think that we have everybody first and not even think about ourselves. That's why we're in the condition that we're in. I should not be the only pastor from Bakersfield to Stockton that speaks out against police brutality. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But,
that's a huge problem.
But our people, the church can take our grandma money. But when it comes to spending for her grandchildren, the church, the pastors are not there. You see what I'm saying? So we have a real problem here, and I think that, you know, the West for the Democratic Club, I think, Madam President, that will be, in my humble opinion, that we need black male principals.
I agree.
Okay?
Yes,
I agree.
I think that our club could be the driving force for that. You see what I'm saying?
I think you're right. I think you're right, Reverend Harris, and one of the things that we can do is to push our community to demand these sort of things, and it starts even further back when we start having those role models, having those people who are education majors at whatever the local schools are or coming from someplace else, even recruiting from historical black colleges to have them come here and teach. You know, we have to be intentional in what we're trying to do and to push the local school districts to hire these people, to recruit. And we can do that, and the way we need to do that is with our vote, And we have, if they're not doing what we ask them to do, then we need to vote their behinds out. And this is one of the reasons why I, you know, this Voters' Choice Act is happening, where they're changing the way we even go to the polls is so important. It's all threaded in. As the chair of West Fresno Democratic Club, I put myself on this advisory committee, which is really not an advisory committee. They're saying that they're listening to us. Well, we'll see how that works out. There was just a meeting this past Monday at the West Fresno Regional Center, which is right next to the branch library across from Edison in Southwest Fresno. Now, they advertised it supposedly. The meeting didn't even start for 30 minutes. It's supposed to start at 1. People didn't really start getting there till 1:30. And there was only about 10 people there trying to decide where the two new voting centers were going to be in Southwest Fresno. So Southwest Fresno only gets two voting centers and one drop box. And I can tell you, all you listeners, that there are other parts of the city who are getting two and three voting centers. They're getting, you know, more than one drop box. And when they were showing these potential places on the screen last week, Southwest Fresno and Southeast Fresno were nowhere to be found. And when I raised my hand and asked them about that, Susan Anderson, the facilitator, and Brandy Orth, who was there, said, well, we're going to talk about that when we meet with the community in those areas. Well, You know, it's the same old thing. The city and the county do the bare minimum of getting the word out, and then they go ahead and do whatever they want to do to our community because they said, well, we had a meeting and nobody showed up. So that's how they do it. So I am saying to everybody, and my mission as the chair for the West Central Democratic Club, and Reverend Harris knows this, is to get people registered to vote and then to get them out to vote. Now, the only good thing about this new Voters' Choice Act is the fact that the entire Fresno County is going to have 50 machines. Okay. The voting is going to be done in an 11-day period, so people are going to have a longer amount of time to vote, and at least 4 days of that 11 days is going to be on a weekend where people can go to these voting centers and register and vote at the same time. No waiting period. Mm-hmm. Every ballot that gets mailed out, they don't have to worry about a stamp. It's going to be free posted, so if you want to vote by mail, you can do that. No problem. And so now it's just about getting our people to register and vote. We have a sleeping giant that lives in southwest Fresno, and that's the people, the black and brown mm-hmm. and Hmong people that live in that area. And we are going to have to rise up and exercise our rights, because if we don't, they're going to get taken away. And voters' rights is one of my passions. Because voter suppression is going on throughout the United States right now. That's how Trump got elected. I mean, you know, people can argue with me about that, you know, Russian meddling and all that. The fact of the matter is that enough people didn't come out and vote. It's just like with Sladek. Sladek got 36% of the vote. Trump probably got less than that if you just start factoring the electoral college that they use to pick people. So, Reverend Harris, you're absolutely positively right when you talk about systematic racism, the lack of black male role models, and Mississippi Fresno. I want to see the demise of Mississippi Fresno. I want to see the golden west side of Fresno rise up and take its rightful place in a power community. So, you know, I'm just going to give one quick plug, and Rev, I want you to tell us how you think we should approach this Black Summit. But for all of you listening, West Fresno Democratic Club meets on the third Saturday of every month at Democratic Headquarters at 1033 U Street in downtown Fresno, across from the Office Depot that's downtown. So we meet from 9 to 11, and dues are only $15 per year. That's pretty cheap. So we bring in power speakers every month, but not just that. We want to hear from the community about what you want to see and what you want done, because we work for you. We work for you as a club. We want to hear from y'all. So, Reverend Harris, how do you think we should take this opportunity of this Black Summit to promote the changes that should happen in Southwest Fresno?
Well, I think we should have some little mini meetings and ask the people, you know, what do they want to see going in their community? I think that educating the people about what the summit is for, why we're having it, and then the follow-up afterwards. So I think we're good at starting stuff, but there's no follow-up afterwards. I think we need to have a report card on each black politician in this community. So what I'm saying is, at the Black Summit, we need to come up with questions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We need to come up with questions that we're going to ask these black officials. Like, number one, you know, we want black principals. But let me tell you something. What happens is the power structure go all the way to Chicago. All the way to New York.
Oh, tell
get,
it now. Come on.
And get a principal.
That's right.
They go all the way to Florida to get somebody with a master's degree. And we got people right here in Fresno with master's degree. Can't even get
right
a job.
Here.
You
that's
see
right. Right. Come on
right.
now. Tell it, Reverend Harris.
That's the problem right there.
That's
the
that's
problem.
Right.
Okay? Because those people in Florida knows nothing about our community here.
Nothing.
And
nothing
we have
about
people
it.
Right, I know people right here today. Dr. Jean Kennedy left because she has a doctorate degree and she couldn't get a job at Fresno State, Fresno City, even a school district.
Wow.
So that's why black people
that's
need Fresno to go elsewhere for more opportunity to survive. It's not that they hate Fresno, just they got to survive, right?
That's right.
Because we don't have black people in position to hire black people. That's the problem. So when
that's
we have a school board members, we need to be questioning them, well, what are you going to do about getting more black people in position to hire more black people?
Right.
That's right.
Each individual. That's right. Those trustees, how many black people do each of them have on their staff? That's right. You're right.
It's too much of a cakewalk, right, ability. So that's why I said Miss Keisha, and I'm not picking on her. I'm saying her name.
I hear you. Hello. I hear you.
And that other lady name that's on the board with Mr. Miller at the county, right? We need to get a report card on them. We need to be bringing them to the table. We need to be calling community meetings,
that's
bringing
that.
Them in,
right.
them down, like our grandma
that's
used to
true.
Do. See, we
You're
don't
right.
do that.
Why are they allowed to get a pass from the black community when we're the ones who advocated for so many of them to get that position? You know, and I'm going to use Keisha as an example right now because she's on Fresno Unified. She's the only black face there. She's the only black person on that board. Even though that is not her district, we're all looking at her.
Here's the thing. Because we don't have the numbers to put any black in office. I'm talking about large numbers, right?
Yes.
Which means we have to compromise our principles or partner with another ethnic, right?
Come on.
Just get more power.
All right.
Now, what you have to understand about politics is, especially a black person, if they're not conscious and grounded, once they get in, then all of a sudden they flip from being black to another color. Because
come
now,
on now.
Like, oh,
here
well,
we go.
We're going to answer to them now because it's more them than it is of you all. Cynthia Sterling played that game with me, and she said, you would have been better off talking to Moby Dick or Big Bird or on Sesame. He said, Harris, black people didn't get me in office.
Oh.
So I don't have to answer to you all.
Wow.
You see,
once you get elected, right, black folks, once you get elected, then it's the hell with the black people. You do what we tell you to do.
Let me just interject one thing, Rev, because you on a roll. Let's connect the dots. Cynthia Sterling is now the president of BWAPA, Black Women for Political Action, I think it's called. The acronym is called. Yeah.
Let me ask
so
you
isn't
something.
It interesting?
I asked this question at the West Fresno Democratic Club meeting. And I wasn't trying to be facetious. I was just asking a question because I wanted to know the answer. I said, in the past 20 years, tell me what black organizations in Fresno has dealt with black issues for us advocating for justice for them. I said, okay, if you can't do 20 years, do 10 years. Okay, if you can't do 10 years, okay, let's do 5 years. What black organization in the past 5 years that advocated for black issues? Okay, you can't do 5 years, then let's do three. So you got the NAACP, you got BWAPA, right? You got BAPAC, right? See, what you have to understand is these are anxious organizations, NAACP. They don't come around until election time. They don't come around until election time. You don't hear nothing about them till election time.
It's probably the same for BAPAC. Although BAPAC did just have, I do. And see, that's the whole thing where there's no accountability, and it's almost like these organizations, it's like they're placeholders. So people are more concerned that they're in these organizations, they're a member, but they don't have to advocate for change. They don't have to do anything. That is a problem.
What happened is we have to build a vehicle for our children, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this. When we had all the black principals at that time in the 70s, that was right after the Civil Rights Movement in 1960. King was assassinated late 60s. The Black Panther Party was eliminated late 60s. Corporate America decided to start letting handpicked black people in corporate America.
Right.
Then once handpicked Negroes got in corporate America, they got comfortable. They started getting credit cards and getting property and this and that, but they didn't build a vehicle for us right now. That's why black people. We have nothing to work with.
They didn't reach back.
No.
But we lost a generation in there with the advent of crack cocaine going from the mid-70s, late-70s into the 80s. Crack cocaine wiped out an entire generation of people, mothers and fathers, crack babies, all of that.
Put all that crack and stuff in our neighborhood. And guns and all.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is,
and the liquor stores on every corner.
What is the black agenda for black people? That's the question. That's the question we
don't
need to
have
ask
one.
Black politicians. I don't want to hear nothing about all children, all people. I want to know, what are you going to do? What is your position, whatever it is, school board, whatever it is, what are you going to do for black people?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, absolutely, and that's a fair question, because every ethnicity in this country asks that question. Look at Puerto Rico right now. You have people partying in New York because the governor of Puerto Rico resigned. And why did he resign? Because people were out in the street for 2 weeks every day, pounding their pots and pans, saying he had to go. The people spoke, and he had to respond and resign. And that is what's going to have to happen in Fresno.
We allow white folk to pick our leaders. So who in the hell you think they're going to listen to, us or them?
Right.
Right.
Wow.
So, when I look at Southeast Fresno, they used to look like West Fresno. Southeast look like River Park now.
It does. We're the last piece of the pie. West Fresno, the last piece.
Fresno.
Yeah.
So what is the black for black people? Black politician?
So this is what we're going to be talking about at the Black Summit. And, Reverend, we are going to have a report card, as you say. We're going to do the follow-up. And so that's why the summit needs to be annual. This needs to be the first annual one, because next year when we do it, we're going to be saying, well, how did everybody do? What did you accomplish? Did you make a situation where the black dollar turns over more than just once before it leaves Southwest Fresno?
Because
that's the way it is now.
See, there's no respect for black Fresno.
No.
See, you don't respect something, you just don't care. You see what I'm saying? When you respect something, then you have some, you have another way of your approach. Right now, there's no respect for black people. All right, the three black politicians we got, ain't no respect for them.
Yeah.
See, when you have a school board member go out to Bullard High School and go into a locked room, the parents can't even get in the room. But the school board member gets in the room and chastises and scares children. That's not even his job to do that.
Not even his job. That's right.
No.
Do you see people in the streets? Do you see people shutting down streets?
They should be.
Did you see any of that? No.
I saw none of that.
Huh?
I saw none of that. The only thing I saw was a full room.
That was in that meeting when he chastised them, and the parent, no one has even talked to the parent today.
No.
Wow.
I mean, I don't get it.
Now it's time. This is. I think this is going to be the tipping point, though. Everybody,
yeah.
I really do. I think because when you mess with somebody's children, you know, you're getting at the soft underbelly of many people, including those of us who don't have kids. I'm pissed. I am pissed that he thought that it was okay for him to do this, and I think that this is going to backfire big time because the fallout from this is going to be ongoing. And Black Fresno, the time is now. If you have got something to say about the way Black Fresnans are treated, now is the time for you to stand up and say it right now. Say it for the children. If you won't say it for yourself, say it for them so that we can build a better future and for them to know that we got their back. So I tell you, we could be talking about this. We could be talking about this for weeks, and we probably will be before all of this gets resolved. And for those who are on the front line, like those Black Bullard parents, Reverend Harris, Maria Ells, Stacey Williams, all the people who have listened tonight, I want to thank all of you for your time. And I want to say that if you are not registered to vote, get registered. If you want to get involved with West Fresno Democratic Club, please come to our next meeting, third Saturday of the month at 1033 U Street across from Office Depot downtown. We do serve a continental breakfast that is free, and dues are $15 a month. But if you want to just come, you don't have to join. If you want to come and just say what you have to say about your community, we want to hear from you. Next month, our speakers are going to be Miguel Arias, Andrew Jans, who's running for mayor, and Elliot Balch, who is also running for mayor. So if you want to hear what these gentlemen have to say, please come. As you already know, Miguel Arias is a city councilman for District 3, which encompasses West Fresno. So I want to thank at this time all of our listeners, and I especially want to thank Reverend Harris. And Reverend Harris, I want to give you the last word on this because you are God's warrior in this fight. And people might think, oh, that's a problem. You know, she's talking politics and God. But this is a divine fight. This is a fight between good and evil, y'all. So if you have a problem with me saying that, you know, you can take it up with me. Reverend didn't ask me to say it. But Reverend Harris, I want to give you the last word on the show this evening. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to thank my guest for tuning in tonight. She didn't want to say anything, and that's great. She just wanted to listen. One of the things I will say is that we are in a crisis situation in Mississippi, Fresno. It's going to take outside people to come in and help us here. There's a lot of fear here. I was just told today that a little baby, a homeless little a mother who was 21, baby died on the streets because she had nowhere to go. Then I got another call from one of my former foster kids. Called me today and said that the county just told him that if he don't get a job, that he's going to be out of the foster care program. See, we're creating problems in Fresno, okay? Because the Fresno County foster system will make money off of these children from 0
right.
to 18. And then when they become 18, then they throw them out on the street, okay? And then when they throw them out on the street, they become homeless. Then once they become homeless, then you got the police coming trying to arrest them and,
that's
you know,
right.
give them a record. So it's a vicious cycle is what I'm saying. But we don't have politicians that will sit at the table and think 10, 15 years ahead of 20, 30 years ahead of time, how can we deal with this foster care system? So now we got a dead baby that was three 3 months old because the mother had no place to stay on the street. August 2nd, the Freedom School, talking to one of the organizers today that's helping. We're going to be giving some food and clothes and things like that to for the cause. We're in bad shape here. And
yeah, we are.
We're really, really going to have to come together, and people are going to have to put their damn differences aside and come together to the table, okay? You know,
that's right.
I do what I do because God blessed me to do it. There's no reason for you to be jealous of that. Use me for the cause. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's things that I don't know how to do. You know, I'm not going to be jealous because I don't know. So we have to understand teamwork, right? Which
teamwork.
We understand that here in Fresno. Because it's like, I want to be the one to do this. I want to be the one to do that. I want to get the credit and recognition for this. And I want to get the recognition for that. The hell with the recognition. Just solve the problem. Okay?
That's
because
right. Come on now.
Suffering because adults right now, right, always want to be the important one. You know, we got too many chiefs and no Indians. Listen.
And no Indians.
I'm going to be quiet. We're going to cut the short because Arlene said we're going to go off at 9 o'clock. To be a good leader, you have to be a good follower.
That's right.
Because
thank
if
you
never
thank
follow and you become in leadership, when people then come to being under your leadership, then you don't understand them. You see what I'm saying? You got to have patience with them. There's a lot of people that I have worked with and reworked with and worked with and reworked with. People that left, people that came back. People cussed me out, kicked off, left, come back. You know what I'm saying? But I was consistent with them. Why? Because I was concerned about them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to be a punching bag for people in order for other people to grow.
Wow. That's
leaders
well said,
have to
really
know how to be a cheerleader. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
A leader to know how to be a cheerleader.
Well, you are a good example
we'll
of what a servant
that,
leader
that,
is.
That preaching mode is coming up. We're going to end the show. But we just want to thank everybody for our Madam President, Ms. Arlene Reed of the Western Democratic Club. Our show tonight was Everything is Politics.
Yeah.
We had a lot of good topics tonight. The show is growing. A lot of people go back to the archives and listen because it's so late and listen to it throughout the day. With other people, we need help. We're out here in the trenches. We're out here on the sidewalk. I'm at New Lifeline Church of God. I will be preaching this Sunday and inviting everybody to come out and listen. We do live stream, and we speak truth to power. And we don't compromise. We call a spade
That's
a spade.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and say good night to everybody, and we'll see you
all
tomorrow
right,
night.
Now.
Open mic.
All right.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Amen.
I need to get a light.